As they passed Riederholmen, Edklint called to tell them that neither Blomqvist nor Berger was answering their mobiles. They had presumably turned them off for dinner. Figueroa swore and passed Suremalmstorg at a speed of close to 50 miles an hour. She kept her horn pressed down and made a sharp turn onto Hornsgarten. Anderson had to brace himself against the door. He had taken out his gun and checked the magazine. Mudig did the same in the back seat. "We have to call for backup," Anderson said. "You don't play games with the Nikolic boys." Figueroa ground her teeth. "This is what we'll do," she said. "Sonia and I will go straight into the restaurant and hope they're sitting outside. Kurt, you know what these guys look like, so you stay outside and keep watch."
"Right.
If all goes well, we'll take Blomqvist and Berger straight out to the car and drive them down to Kungsholmen. If we suspect anything's wrong, we'll stay inside the restaurant and call for backup."
"Okay,"
Mudig said. Figueroa was nearly at the restaurant when the police radio crackled beneath the dashboard.
"All units, shots fired on Tavastgatan and Södermalm, Samir's Cauldron Restaurant."
Figueroa felt a sudden lurch in her chest. Berger saw Blomqvist bump into a man as he was heading past the entrance towards the gents. She frowned without really knowing why. She saw the other man stare at Blomqvist with a surprised expression. She wondered if it was somebody he knew. Then she saw the man take a step back and drop a bag to the floor. At first, she did not know what she was seeing. She sat paralyzed as he raised some kind of gun and aimed it at Blomqvist. Blomqvist reacted without stopping to think. He flung out his left hand, grabbed the barrel of the gun, and twisted it up towards the ceiling. For a microsecond, the muzzle passed in front of his face. The burst of fire from the submachine gun was deafening in the small room. Mortar and glass from the overhead lights rained down on Blomqvist as Miro Nikolic squeezed off 11 shots. For a moment, Blomqvist looked directly into the eyes of his attacker. Then Nikolic took a step back and yanked the gun towards him. Blomqvist was unprepared and lost his grip on the barrel. He knew at once that he was in mortal danger. Instinctively, he threw himself at the attacker instead of crouching down or trying to take cover. Later he realized that if he had ducked or backed away, he would have been shot on the spot. He got a new grip on the barrel of the submachine gun and used his entire weight to drive the man against the wall. He heard another 6 or 7 shots go off and tore desperately at the gun to direct the muzzle at the floor. Berger instinctively took cover when the second series of shots was fired. She stumbled and fell, hitting her head on a chair. As she lay on the floor, she looked up and saw that 3 holes had appeared in the wall just behind where she had been sitting. In shock, she turned her head and saw Blomqvist struggling with the man by the door. He had fallen to his knees and was gripping the gun with both hands, trying to wrench it loose. She saw the attacker struggling to get free. He kept smashing his fist over and over into Blomqvist's face and temple. Figueroa braked hard opposite Samir's Cauldron, flung open the car door, and ran across the road towards the restaurant. She had her Sig Sauer in her hand with the safety off when she noticed the car parked right outside the restaurant. She saw one of the Nikolic brothers behind the wheel and pointed her weapon at his face behind the driver's door.
"Police! Hands up!" she screamed.
Tommy Nikolic held up his hands.
"Get out of the car and lie face down on the pavement,"
she roared, fury in her voice. She turned and glanced at Anderson and Mudig beside her.
"The restaurant,"
she said. Mudig was thinking of her children. It was against all police protocol to charge into a building with her weapon drawn without first having backup in place and without knowing the exact situation. Then she heard the sound of more shots from inside. Blomqvist had his middle finger between the trigger and the trigger guard as Miro Nikolic tried to keep shooting. He heard glass shattering behind him. He felt a searing pain as the attacker squeezed the trigger again and again, crushing his finger. As long as his finger was in place, the gun could not be fired. But as Nikolic's fist pummeled the side of his head, it suddenly occurred to him that he was too old for this sort of thing.
"Have to end it," he thought.
That was his first rational thought since he had become aware of the man with the submachine gun. He clenched his teeth and shoved his finger farther into the space behind the trigger. Then he braced himself, rammed his shoulder into the attacker's body and forced himself back onto his feet. He let go of the gun with his right hand and raised his elbow up to protect his face from the pummeling. Nikolic switched to hitting him in the armpit and ribs. For a second they stood eye to eye again. The next moment Blomqvist felt the attacker being pulled away from him. He felt one last devastating pain in his finger and became aware of Anderson's huge form. The police officer literally picked up Nikolic with a firm grip on his neck and slammed his head into the wall by the door. Nikolic collapsed to the ground.
"Police! Get down! Stay still!" he heard Modig yell.
He turned his head and saw her standing with her legs apart and her gun held in both hands as she surveyed the chaos. At last she raised her gun to point it at the ceiling and looked at Blomqvist.
"Are you hurt?"
she said. In a daze, Blomqvist looked back at her. He was bleeding from his forehead and his nose.
"I think I broke a finger," he said, sitting down on the floor.